Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, focusing on life-giving relationships and the family. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, chairman of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And today, our program is God's Calling to Foster or to Adopt, part two, actually. We've done another program on with the same title, God's Calling to Foster or to Adopt. And our guest today is Stephanie Baird. She and her husband were part of our first program, telling their personal story of how God called them into fostering and then actually, surprisingly, into adoption, which wasn't their intent in the beginning. But we're going to be talking about how God works in that kind of a call and all the different iterations that there may be when God may be calling you to say, can I help another child? Can I help an infant? And Stephanie, let's start with a summary of your story with your husband, Joe. And that's part of our first part of this program. You started in, God called you really through your work as a nurse, a labor and delivery nurse. And you saw so many babies that were needing to be put in foster care because there was an addiction issue. And the babies were born, they needed special care for withdrawal from that addiction that their birth mother had. And the birth parents, or the birth mother particularly, had to be in some kind of a treatment program with the hope that she would be able to have a parenting plan and be able to go home with her baby at some point. But those babies needed, many of them needed foster care, right?
Yep.
So that tugged at your heartstrings. So continue your story there, Stephanie. You and your husband started discerning. You're the one that brought up you got the first call, let's say. So tell us how that story unrolled for your family and how God is building your family now because you said yes.
Sure. Yeah, it was always just, I think prior to even being a labor and delivery nurse, part of my pro-life, you know, mission was to support children in need.
Mm-hmm. And moms in need.
And moms in need, sure. Correct. And so I've just always had the heart for that. Mm-hmm. And then when I became a labor and delivery nurse and I just started seeing these infants that were born and needing more care in the NICU and special care nursery for withdrawals they're experiencing, I knew that they probably were going to go into most likely foster care or some sort of safety plan while their parents receive treatment. It was just kind of, that was the biggest nudge for me to go home and talk to my husband, Joe, about, you know, is this something we can do? It's hard for me to see all these babies just going and not knowing what's happening to them. And we have the hearts and home to be able to provide for them.
Mm-hmm. And at that time you had three children.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How old are your biological, were your biological children when you started into this?
So I think our oldest, it was 6 years ago, he was 13, 10, and 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they were excited, mm-hmm. you know, and that was also part of like our Catholic faith is to, you know, as parents is to raise our children to get to heaven. And we think, you know, these little infants and babies and, you know, they're no less worthy of that. And even if we have a temporary home for them, we're bringing you know, hopefully giving them a little bit more support and just faith and whatever it may be that they need at that time.
And prayers.
Exactly. So,
sure.
So, our biological kids were excited. We talked about ages and what age would be appropriate for our family. Mm-hmm. And they agreed that like under two at that time was a good age for us to start. Mm-hmm. So birth to two.
So that brings up the fact that there are lots of kind of parameters, and if someone's thinking of being a foster care parent or looking into it, you basically set parameters.
Yes.
What would you be willing? And I believe you said you started out with respite care.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So when you become licensed to foster, you can be respite only, which is just providing. So it's for a child that's already in foster care, or children that are already in foster care that are in a foster family. And that foster family just needs like maybe a break, or they want to spend time with their other children, mm-hmm. give them a little one-on-one time. And so the foster children can come to our home just for like a weekend or a week. And we provide care for them so that foster family gets a break, because you do need them.
Sure, sure.
So we did that the first, before we even got a foster placement, a child. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, and all of that was kind of taking one step at a time. I know in our first program, Joe speaks a lot about how he was pretty reluctant right at the beginning, but was willing to take the first step. Okay, well, we'll find out more about it, and we'll go to the class. And so as God kept taking you one step at a time, one of those steps was respite care. But you thought that you were just going to be focusing on foster care. But then there was an opportunity with one of your foster children to actually to adopt. So there God led you to a further step.
Correct.
Which you did. And so you have little Gianna,
yes.
who's now three.
Yep.
And now you have another foster baby right now. Correct. Ray.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have five children. And so now your heart is going out to, well, you're finding out about so many other wonderful stories that God has put together, how God just has a plan for every family. And we don't really know exactly what that is.
Right. Yeah. We just take a leap of faith. You know, it's in God's hands.
Sure. Sure. And when I was talking to you about your story, the reason I asked you to do another program with us, besides the program you did with Joe, was that you were telling me so many other amazing stories of how God works in families when you say yes and are open to the next step.
Yeah.
So tell us some of the other couples that you have gotten to know through this process. And that's one of the beautiful things, too, how God puts together a community of people. And we'll be talking, we'll be mentioning a little later in the program, a community that you're forming that would be available to the whole diocese here. You're starting at Immaculate Conception, right?
Right.
But even before getting in a formal group started, foster care families, families that have fostered to adopt, you get to know each other. Tell me, one of the stories you told that I just loved was the Kiefers.
Yes.
Tell us about the Kiefers.
Well, Kiefers were one of the families that we actually used each other for respite care.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when they had a placement, we would take their placement and do respite for a weekend or a week, and vice versa. When mm-hmm. they didn't have a placement, they would take ours. So
how did you know them?
Through our agency. So we were both licensed through an agency.
Okay.
Together.
Okay.
And then we found out they belonged to St. Catherine Parish.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of...
You had gone to meetings together with them at the agency.
Training. Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
So even in the training process, these couples get to know each other. And
yes.
then how God puts you together is a neat.
Yeah, we've met so many wonderful families and people, just couples through this whole entire process. It's
sure.
been amazing.
Sure.
So Kiefers are one of those families, and they had two little boys, siblings, that we did respite for when they took a little trip with their biological children.
Did they have these two babies at the same time?
Yeah, well, they were siblings. So
they were siblings.
They were like one and three at the time.
When they became their foster parents.
Correct.
But when they became foster parents, they said yes to two of them.
Correct.
Right in the
beginning.
Sibling group. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Sibling group.
Yep. This mm-hmm. was their first placement.
Mm-hmm.
And they have four biological children.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had these two little boys for almost two and a half years. And they were very open to adoption. They mm-hmm. kind of were like, into fostering. Yeah, we would love to adopt. And
your case was you weren't thinking of that at all.
Yes. Right. So they were kind of on that path after so many, you know, years that they were potentially going to adopt the boys. In the meantime, though, the biological father had been working his case plan. And so there was kind of that
possibility that
they could be reunified with their father.
And of course, that's always the first option.
Correct.
of the agencies, and that if the biological parents can become capable again of parenting, then the children are returned to their biological parents.
That's the number one goal.
And the secondary goal is a kinship adoption, usually. Mm-hmm. Someone else in the family that might be able to adopt. So go ahead with the Kiefers.
So the biological dad ended up working his plan, and the boys were reunified with the biological father. Of course, I brought about so many emotions for the Kiefers and their family. I mean, obviously, they were ecstatic that they got to go with their biological father, but then there's the sadness.
How many years had they been fostering?
Almost 2.5.
2.5 years, okay.
Yeah. And the boys really knew them and their biological children. They just became one big family.
And I think this is one of the reasons that so many people may be hesitant to think about fostering, because they say, I know I would become attached to this child or these children. How could I ever give them back?
That's the number one.
Yeah, the number one obstacle.
Number one thing I get from everybody is, oh my gosh, I don't know how. I could never do that. I could never give them up. Well, of course it's hard. Of course, it's hard. This isn't meant to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have our faith and we know that it's God's plan, you know, and we are providing that safe haven for these children and the time that is necessary.
And we don't know that.
We don't know that time. We don't.
So in this case, the biological father became again capable of parenting.
Yes. Yeah, so the boys, they ended up transitioning to hit their biological father. And the Kiefers obviously would love to have kept a relationship and were open to that and were praying that the father would be. And they would send some text messages, you know, throughout the next several months. And he would reply or not reply. Well, about almost a year later, he reached back out to the Kiefers. And I think it just took him that year to get readjusted with his boys. Mm-hmm. And to have that time, but also to realize how much appreciation he had for the Kiefers, how much they loved the boys, and the boys loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decided that it was okay now for them, the boys, to go see the Kiefers for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, the Kiefers were ecstatic. And so, I mean, it was just a great reunification. But it became just a great story because now this father who experienced all this and realized how much impression that the Kiefers had on his boys, it took time, but he came around and, you know, decided, okay, they are good people.
Yeah.
Because I think,
and he wanted them still involved.
He
with
did.
His boys.
And I think sometimes biological parents can be a little put off by foster parents because they don't know their intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once he got to know them and understand, and so now they have
And
this...
once, I think, once he was probably, again, secure in his fatherhood.
Exactly.
He knew the boys loved him.
Yes.
And if they loved the Kiefers, that was fine, too.
Yeah.
It didn't take away
he
from their love for him.
Which is totally appropriate.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, you never see these children again, but thankfully for the Kiefers, you know, they still, it's been about almost 2 years since they've been reunified with their father, and the Kiefers get the boys like, oh my gosh, probably once a month at least, and take them to church with them. And so it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And it, not only for the Kiefers, but the biological father.
He's kind of become a part of their family as well.
Yeah, what a great person to work his plan and to do what he had to do to get his boys back, but also acknowledge, you know,
how God protected the boys while he was recovering.
Yes.
Yeah. So. It's beautiful. So again, it just shows you how we don't know exactly the rest of the story, do we?
Yeah.
Even for our own biological children, of course.
Correct.
But when we step out to foster or foster to adopt, you know, God is just has amazing.
You would be amazed. I mean, yeah. Honestly, the blessings that come with it.
Right, right. Well, we're about halfway through our program. Let me reintroduce our guest for today. Our guest is Stephanie Baird, who is a member of Immaculate Conception Parish, and she and her husband, Joe, have started into foster care, did you say, 6 years ago?
Yes.
Not with the intention of adopting, but they did end up adopting one of their little foster babies, Gianna, who's now three, and they have a little foster son now, Jay.
Ray.
They're just fostering, right? They're not at this point in the foster to adopt process. But Stephanie also was our guest with her husband, Joe, in part one of this program, God's Calling to Foster or to Adopt. So if you want to hear more about their story, and particularly how Joe responded when Stephanie came back with this idea, maybe God's calling us to have more children through foster care, please look that up in our podcasts, in our archives. So Stephanie, so obviously in informal ways, the network has already started, your network of support with the couples that you have met through the agency, mm-hmm. that has licensed you. Let's talk for just a minute about the whole process. If someone's listening and thinking, well, okay, maybe God is calling me, or God is calling our family to this, what would be the very first step that you would suggest?
Well, you know, I'm working with the Springs of Love, which is a national organization that is providing
Catholic organization.
Catholic, yes. Mm-hmm. Discernment for people that are looking into foster adoption and also support. So they have a great website, springsoflove.org. where you can actually click on if you're interested in foster care, and it'll do state by state. So you can go to Ohio and it'll bring up the Franklin County Children's Services website. So that's the first place you would look, is mm-hmm. under your county's website.
Okay.
And then what happens, at least in Franklin County, is there are agencies that you you would pick an agency.
To be licensed. To be become licensed.
Yes. And okay. They support you through that process. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they do your required classes, mm-hmm. Provide those for you. They do your home study,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you have to provide references. And obviously, they just kind of give you all the support on the steps to get licensed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the first thing, is pick your agency.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens is when a child needs foster care, the word goes out from Franklin County Children's Services to all the agencies they work with.
Yes.
And in our county, that's over 20,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
And so then those agencies send back names of couples that have been licensed by that agency that might be fit the
right.
profile here.
Yeah. When they get referral for a child that's placed in care or needs a home, then that goes out to all the agencies. And the agency will support you and call, you know, if you're open, you have an open place for that mm-hmm, child, mm-hmm. they may call you and you can say yes or no.
Sure.
You know, and if you say yes, then it goes back to Franklin County Children's Services. And then you wait to hear.
If you're chosen.
Yes.
If yes. you're chosen. Yeah. One of the obstacles, I think, for people listening who may be, again, thinking, God, are you calling our family to this? We've talked about one of those obstacles, which is how would I feel, you know, if I become so attached to this child and then the child, I can't adopt that child or I have to send that child back. And how am I going to do that? That's one of the obstacles. We've talked about that. Another one is couples may be thinking, would I even be eligible? I mean, would they choose me? You told me about a person who said, oh, I think I might be interested, but I've got so many cracks in my ceiling. I don't think they would find my home suitable.
Right.
What about that obstacle?
Yeah, that I think there's some, you know, misconceptions about mm-hmm. what it takes to be licensed.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of rules to it, but it really is doable. It you know, it's not as challenging as
yeah.
people make it out to be, I think. So, you know, that's something. And you just look into it and see, again, you could take a class or two and kind of find out information.
Sure.
And see if that's something that would work for you.
Yeah. Well, some resources. Now, I know you talked about the website, springsoflove.org, where people can actually choose Ohio, find an agency, start. And there's so much else on that website. Videos, stories of couples who have fostered, and those that some just choose to foster, period. I read a beautiful story on the website about a couple that had been fostering for 30, I think they had had for 30 years, and they were just committed to fostering. But that was phenomenal. There were just there's so many resources on that website, and but often people will a website is great, but I'd love to talk to someone who's done this even before I call the agency. So tell us a little bit about the support group that you're starting at Immaculate Conception.
When we became foster parents, I think the one thing that I always thought was, where are all the Catholics? Where are all our Catholic friends? We're kind of on an island. And and so I was a little discouraged by that. And so I guess it was always like something I would love to have is support from, like, you know, I met the Kifers who belong to St. Catherine Parish. And you know, you just...
And that was through your agency.
Yeah, that was
licensed
our agency,
you.
And we've always talked about that too. So... anyway, I got connected with Springs of Love and Kimberly Hinkle, and she was starting this, wanting to start a ministry with some care teams in the, specifically in the Catholic diocese, to offer support or
one-on-one or couple to couple.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I jumped right on. I was like, oh, perfect. This is exactly what I've been looking for. So I volunteered to help her start a ministry and kind of launch it. And Immaculate Conception is my parish, and they were open to the idea. And so we are launching our kind of Springs of Love care team ministry here shortly. In May, we're going to have kind of a kickoff event. So check the website for that. Okay. And it will provide two things. One's going to be services. So a care team will be made of any volunteers that are interested from the parish, who maybe thought about, like, oh, I've always wanted to foster, but I just don't think I can do it. And that's fine. It's not for everybody. But this is a way that you can become involved without, you know, actually being a foster home.
So you could support couples that do bring in foster children.
Yeah. So it might be, you know, we would identify families in the parish, whether they're kinship, so they might be relatives raising grandchildren or aunts and uncles raising nieces and nephews or even friends.
And that's more and more common today,
isn't it? It is, and they do not have a lot of support.
How many grandparents are supporting, have adopted grandchildren?
With little to no support. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think like something that would be so beneficial in our parish with some of these families. So maybe they need, you know, a meal or a childcare or, again, prayers, mm-hmm. or just that communication.
Someone to talk to that they can call when they're in a crisis. So there are so many kinship adoptions now. I'm assuming that once you get this support group started and more people hear about it, that there'll be a lot more families than you now know of in our parishes that will need help. So actually, at this point, calling, if you want to talk to Stephanie, if you're listening to this and would like to be put in contact with a couple that actually is fostering now or has fostered to adopt, or if you're a kinship family that needs support, we think the best way would be to call Immaculate Conception Parish and ask for Stephanie's contact information, and they will give it to you. So Immaculate Conception phone number is 614-267-9241. All right. And of course, there'll be lots of resources there on springsoflove.org. Mm-hmm. So Stephanie, we've been talking about barriers that couples may think, again, how could I ever do that and not be able to keep the baby forever? they might think our house is not good enough. Our family might not be approved. We've talked about that potential barrier. any other barriers? Well, just not ever meeting anybody or knowing anybody or talking to anybody who's done it.
That's the number one barrier.
I think
is like the lack of support that you have in our own like little Catholic community to
take that step.
Yeah. And also to alleviate some of those concerns or talk about them and the challenges, because it is challenging. It is, you know, not without fault that there are many challenges in doing this, but it's also again, God's will. And, you know, we are here to serve and to provide for the orphaned. So
what is an orphan? We've only got just a minute left. Is there something you'd like to say to close about the blessings that have come about to you and your family as a result?
Yeah, it's actually brought our family closer together. You know, I think it's just opening our hearts to the vulnerable and also being exposed to that, where we can, you know, we're so apt to just shut that out. And I think if you allow yourself to open your heart to provide for, it just gives you that sense of a calling that is greater than you can ever describe. And we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for these children.
And I bet, because I've had the pro-life calling for so many, many years, it just brings you closer to the Lord. You see how Lord does this. You could not do it.
Whole family. It brings our whole family. Yeah. My children, my husband, myself. Right.
The graces that he brings just bring you closer to the Lord every day.
It does.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for being our guest today. And springsoflove.org, a great resource on fostering and fostering to adopt. And you're listening to The Family Sanctuary, and I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn. To find this program again and other programs from Family Sanctuary, go to stgabrielradio.com, choose the archives and the podcasts, and then look for Family Sanctuary. We're broadcast at 4 o'clock on Saturdays and 2 o'clock on Sundays, right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. So join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intends.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com. Then